Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, good morning, Trevor, and good morning, listeners.
Yeah, good morning. Tom Karma, thank you very much for coming to the program. Co-author of the research paper, and we're talking the Public Health Research and Practice Journal on the success of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tobacco control. A co-author, who are you co-author with, Tom?
A guy called Professor David Thomas. He's based up in Darwin with Menzies Institute. And, a good fella. Been working in tobacco control for a long while. And, he's a doctor, medical doctor, but now he's a researcher. And he's taken a lot of the strong lead in chairing a new committee that they've developed in Darwin, working with the Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Service, MOB, to look at how do we make a difference, particularly in remote communities, because that's where our big challenge is.
So we're doing okay in urban cities and towns, but we go further out, we've still got a smoking problem with our people, yep?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's a whole lot of reasons for that, yeah, it's unfortunate, but we are seeing some really great progress in urban areas, and we've just got to take it on and take up the challenge of giving up. And that's why, you know, what I do as National Coordinator for Tackling Indigenous Smoking, which is part of one of my day jobs, and that's working across the nation. And we've got 40 teams of people who are working within the community. Many of them are co-located with Aboriginal Medical Services.
Yes.
And, we work with groups of people, with schools, and school kids to make sure that they understand why smoking is not good for you, both in your health and also in your pocket, because it's a really big expense, smoking, and, it deprives a lot of people from a lot of enjoyment in life because they're stressed out because they got no money if they're a smoker. So it's a real issue. That's on the economic side of it, but health side of it is also, our biggest concern.
Look, we'll count our wins and we'll take whatever wins we can get, but we've still got a long way to go in regard to the so-called gap, especially with our mob and non-Indigenous Australians. Smoking is a hazard and we need to put a stop to it, brother.
Oh, definitely. And look, the good thing is that, and Queensland's a great example of how you've partnered with Deadly Choices, and that's working across, AMSs across Queensland, and, really working with our young folk and getting them to understand why they shouldn't take up smoking. And they also become really good, strong advocates with their parents and other family members to give up smoking. Because they're understanding. And that's been one of the really positive things about our youth haven't been taking up smoking as actively as they had in the past. And so we've got to look at people who smoke to give up smoking, which is important, but equally important is that people don't take it up. And, I urge young people, people who don't smoke, just don't do it because, it can be very, very addictive.
Exactly.
And once you get hooked into smoking,
hard to break.
The cost of it is just so astronomical. And, the other big thing that we also don't think about enough is that secondhand smoke. We can't be in the presence of somebody who smokes because that also has a really bad impact on your health, and particularly for kids. And that's why, governments across Australia have banned smoking in cars.
Yes.
When there's kids around.
Passive smoking, isn't
they're
it?
They're the innocent victims, yeah.
Mm. Exactly, brother. And so when we look at the journal here, the Public Health Research and Practice Journal, where would this book be published? Where would it be out and about? How do people get a hold of it? And is it going out distributing to First Nation health organisations as such?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, the really important one is this is like a lot of journals, they get published and you know, there's different ways in which it reaches a community.
Mm.
But for anything to do with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander health, the number one place to look is on the NACHO newsletter.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a free subscription, comes out, you know, pretty regularly, a couple of times a week, and they have got a phenomenal number of stories, over 150 stories about people giving up smoking. And you know, all the challenges, but also the successes. And people who give up smoking love to talk about it because,
exactly,
you know, it's important. It helps them. And so, you know, that's NACHO website's a good one to get to.
Fantastic.
If we can do that.
Mm.
But, you know, just talking to you, Trevor, and you
getting
know,
the word out.
Our broadcasting is really important to understand. And it's not a difficult issue, you know. And what we try to do in with my teams across the nation is to talk about the benefits of not smoking.
Yes.
Because we know that if we're a smoker, you know, already the bad things are we're going to die younger. It contributes to almost every cancer that's possible. You know, you've got your lung, you know, and other parts of your body all get affected, your throat, your gums, through smoking. And so, you know...
Well, when you look at those ugly photos on the cigarette packets, that in itself should scare you. And also the hip pocket, you know?
Oh, the hip pocket, yeah, is a big one. And, you know, and what our two big priorities really are people living in remote communities, to give them information to make an informed choice.
Yes.
You know, because we want people, we want to tell people you've got to give up smoking. We want people to understand that if you smoke, this is what happens.
Mm.
And you know, so people will you know, think about giving up. And if they are thinking about giving up, then go to Quitline.
Mm.
Quitline in Queensland is probably one of the most successful Quitlines across Australia for both Indigenous and non-Indigenous people. And, you know, all the Quitline counsellors across the nation have been trained in cross-cultural communication. We also have a dedicated Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Quitline service. So
sure. If
anybody, you know, rings up and they want to talk to an Aboriginal counsellor or a Torres Strait Islander counsellor, they just got to ask the Quitline and then they can talk to one of our mob. And, you know, and we can work through it. But it's,
yeah. It's now, the Quitline worked closely with the joint venture with the Aboriginal Community Control Health Organisations for supporting this this campaign as such, hey?
Yeah. And every AMS across the country should be able to provide what we call smoking cessation, looking at strategies to give up smoking.
Yes.
And they should be able to have a chat to you. Through the AMS, you can get access to nicotine replacement therapies. That's the patches and you know, some dispense, you know, vaporizers and stuff like that. And the Queensland government actually has a good program to support Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people through NRTs. And so what the main thing is, you've got to go and ask. Talk to your chemist. That's the other way. You know, if you don't get a chance to talk to a Quitline service, well, Quitline, I think, is really good because they will... Nobody's about telling people what they should and they shouldn't do.
Mm.
What we are there to support people who want to give up. And so, you know, that's what it's about. And
more success stories will breed success, you know, and people speak with so much passion when they have quit because they're telling the story and excited to tell the story because they've achieved a fantastic goal. That in itself is motivation, isn't it?
It is. You know, I'm national coordinator, so I look after all over Australia and we've got 40 teams out there. And, you know, I get to talk to people, not so much now with bloody COVID, sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
COVID out there because,
yes.
You know, we're restricted in what we can do.
Zoom conferences.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, when we do travel and you talk to people, you know, and they tell such wonderful stories about, you know, what they've been able to do since they gave up smoking,
yes.
You know, other than being healthier, They've been able to go on holidays.
Exactly.
They've been able to buy things for the family.
Yeah, new car, whatever, you know, and do a lot more with their grandchildren or with their children, brother.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that people don't realise is that if you smoke a packet of cigarettes a day, over a year, that's equivalent to the amount of money you'd get off Newstart or Job Seeker Allowance. The same amount.
Exactly.
$14,000+.
Exactly, bro.
So, you know, that's where your money goes.
That's better in your pocket than somebody else's, hey, bro?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and you also improve on your health. So, you know, and that's why we the other big target area is working with mums who are pregnant or have young babies.
Exactly.
To try and get them off, because too many of them smoke. And so we want to talk about, you know, why, you know, the sort of impacts that it has on the baby, but also, you know, how they can be supported during their journey to give up.
Mm.
And, you know, there's a whole lot of supports around there. We've got the I Sister Quit program, which is one that's working across AMSs across the nation. And, and you know, there's special ways in which mums can work together. But, you know, understanding those impacts, even when the baby before is born, you know, from the impacts of smoking, both active smoker and being in the presence of a smoker, secondhand smoke, is really bad. And of course, alcohol and other drugs are also not good for the unborn baby, you know, and for any of us. So that's a big priority area. And look, we get some wonderful stories. And
yes. And we need those wonderful stories, my brother. Look, I love your passion. Thank you very much for sharing, Tom. It's fantastic, and we need to get all that mob out there to quit the smoking, brother. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Well, it is. And just go to the AMS or talk to the chemist, talk to one of your mates. You know, we've got our tobacco teams everywhere. And, you know, what's important to remember is that this year we've just funded the new Torres Health Service to have a tobacco team working across the Torres Straits.
Good, beautiful.
So, we've now got a new team up there, and we're looking forward to some great results.
Brother, that's beautiful looking. Love your work. Thank you very much for sharing, Tom. All the best to you and your deadly team and your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, brother.
Oh, thanks, mate, and thank you for your interest, Trevor. You're always picking up on those big issues, and, and I think the important one is that, you know, it's our mob, we're doing it for our mob. So,
exactly.
We want to stay the longest continuing culture in the world.
Keep it alive, brother.
Something to be proud of.
Too deadly, brother. Take care, Tom.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. Tom Karma, co-author of the research paper. Sachs Institute has published a paper in the Public Health Research and Practice Journal on the success of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tobacco control. So a very important conversation there. We are cutting down in our smoking, but still got a long way to go. Closed that gap, and they're doing their bit there. So your mob, before having a durry, go for a walk, chew on an apple. Do something better, and you'll have a longer life and also a more rich life in finance as well. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarn Up with the ball, you're on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we are live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumblebrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give me a call, let's have a yarn, your mob, too deadly. Yeah, lovely track there. Oh Brother's name of that track by Elaine Crombie. Big shout out, my sister. Hope you're well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. Us BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So have your say and yarn up strong, your mob too deadly. Now, pandemic causing a catastrophic rise in illiteracy, hidden rates of COVID-19 are being revealed. So during International Literacy Day, that was back in September 8, the world should be celebrating global improvements in literacy levels. Yet in 2020, COVID-19 has created a hidden tsunami for millions of children in their ability to learn and read. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Andrew Kay, CEO and founder of the World Literacy Foundation on the line. Andrew, very good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks, Trev. Thanks for having us.
No, thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation, and when we're talking about, COVID-19, the world we're living has turned our world upside down, but it has exposed, hidden rates of COVID-19 being really catastrophic rise in illiteracy. So that's not good, and especially with kids being out of school because of isolation, what have you. It created more problems, yes?
Very much so, I guess, particularly a lot of kids, globally around the world, nearly 1.2 billion children have been locked out of classrooms. But even like in Australia, in many places, it's the same scenario. And yeah, when kids aren't attending school, some kids do have computers at home and books at home, but often those that are more disadvantaged don't have access to basic sort of educational resources that will help them to continue to learn. And that's really our concern, is for many children they can, you know, fall through the cracks, and particularly in their early years of education, you know, access to books at home are really important.
And when you're talking about illiteracy, here we are in the 21st century, that shouldn't be a problem in regard to communication and the social media and the world that we live in. It's hard to believe.
It is hard to believe. And like, even in Australia, 22% of Australians are considered what they call functionally illiterate, which basically means that they really struggle to read a single sentence. So, you know, that can have like a huge impact on their daily life, you know, simply from, you know, reading a medicine label to getting some instruction. And it's sort of one of those hidden things that really can impact on people in their ability to, you know, do a job, in life. And sadly, people have, you know, fallen through the cracks.
So, Andrew, where do we pick up the slack? Does the government need to do more here? Is there a lot of pressure on teachers, parents and themselves, and individuals?
Actually, yeah, I think a big thing really is from parents, particularly new parents, realising, you know, like, we're really about empowering parents to be their child's first teacher. So not waiting until they turn 4 or 5 and head to school, but really reading books to them from birth. Just to create a habit at home, that there is that regular activity and love of reading books and finding books that they enjoy. But yeah, really, the child's brain really develops at its peak at age 3. Yes. So often, by the time they go at 5 and go to school, it can be a little bit late. So that habit of reading really needs to start at a very young age, and we really encourage to start at birth.
And when we're talking about illiteracy, we're also talking about then that can snowball into health problems in the mental sense, in the confidence sense, emotional, all the above, yes?
Very much so. So, yeah, both the social and economic impact of illiteracy is profound, and it is for life. And it's just really important to be preventative and early intervention in our focus. And that really, you know, starts, as I said, from birth, that really developing that love and habit, that ritual, that routine of reading books at home, and particularly introducing reading, when they're at school and beyond. And particularly, for teachers, parents, grandparents, you know, for the whole community, just realise that reading is a basic skill that really provides a child to reach their full potential.
When we're talking basic skills, well, if people haven't got the basic skills, then they tend to pull away from society, and there we have it. People, you know, will not engage as such, and if not, homelessness and all the above.
Yeah, look, reading's been proven to develop a mind of a child to be inquisitive, to be entrepreneurial, to be creative, to stimulate imagination. So just aside from just like the whole thing of knowledge, which is great, but reading, you know, can stimulate a child's mind to things that can really set them up for life.
And so I suppose we as, people, we can help our fellow man and be aware of people in that situation and to take on board and give that respect and acknowledgement and understanding and appreciate, you know, where they're at and helping them, guiding them, directing them in regard to a conversation as such.
Very much so. So, yeah, it's really, today it's about, being mentored around a literate society and access to these certainly not close to a library. There's plenty of other ways to access educational material.
Yes,
particularly now with phones, you can get all sorts of fun and engaging educational apps, you know, via smartphones. Lots of free books on phone. But yeah, really, just creating that love habit around reading.
Yes,
is so important, and for us as adults. To model that to children and young people around us.
Well, that in itself, it sounds like a pandemic, illiteracy, and we can use the phrase, can't we? We are all in this together. We need to support each other.
Most definitely. Yeah,
very important conversation, Andrew. Thank you very much. All the best to you and your team and your family. Stay safe, my friend.
Thank you. All the best. Take care.
Bye-bye. Andrew Kay, his name is CEO and founder of the World Literacy Foundation. And as we mentioned, pandemic causing catastrophic rise in illiteracy, hidden rates of COVID-19 are being revealed. And there's something like 770 million people in the globe can't read or write a single word, and a further 2 billion people struggle to read a sentence. And that's what Mr. Andrew Kay, CEO of the World Literacy Foundation, has stated. So we need to do a bit, be aware of people out there who can't read or write. Right, and respect them and guide them and, you know, seek help. That's what we need to do, and stop the abuse, so to speak, and looking down upon people. The best exercise for your heart is bending down, lifting somebody up. So there it is. Have you say your mob. Yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And I come to you live from the First Nation radio station here in Cairns as BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to National News Radio Service. Give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn. 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416.
Every time I look at you, only fear I can see through. You say you're scared of the dark. I say it's more like leaving your mark. And that I know to be true, I know to be true. What are you really scared of in this life? Why do you question your heart? You know it's right. Give yourself a chance.
of the dark. I say it's more like leaving your mark, and you've left it here on my heart. It's already here on my heart.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bunbury Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'm going to talk to another Trevor. Trevor Torrens, his name is, General Manager of Asbestos Disease Support Society, and got him on the line. Trevor, very good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, and good morning to you and good morning to your listeners.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Our topic today is asbestos disease still impacts the community. Look, we are in the 21st century. It is 2020, but we still have a problem with asbestos. Well, it's usually in houses, and the houses, I think you mentioned, built before 1990, but we can't just go down and tear in all the houses in this country. Asbestos is within those buildings, and we still live with it, sadly.
Well, we do, Trevor, and fortunately, you're quite right. We can't go tearing down all the houses, and if we do, we need to make sure that we take the right precautions.
Yes.
You know, the Society's been around since 1992, so we're coming up to, you know, almost 30 years, and unfortunately, we're still yet to see the peak of asbestos-related disease. I think the issue for the Society is that we support people of an asbestos-related disease, but we also want to try and get the message out there that you need to be very careful if you're working with this asbestos or if you're coming in contact with asbestos.
So just paint the picture. Share with us, Trevor, what actually is asbestos and is it fatal as such?
Well, back in the day, it was a miracle product. Very resilient, heat resistant, easy to work with, looked good. Particularly pre-war, it was, or post-war, I should say, it was used a lot in homes. And in fact, everyone talks about the old Fibro Queenslander or the Fibro shacks that are around. Well, they're asbestos.
Okay.
So any house built before 1990, to err on the side of caution, if you have the old Fibro, as we used to call it, in it, you should assume that it has an asbestos-containing material in it.
And asbestos is very, very, very fine material, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, a fibre of asbestos is 200 times smaller than a human hair. Unfortunately, I'm in my late 50s now and I don't have much hair.
Likewise, brother, we're on the same page. Don't go there, but continue.
That's right. So the thing is, Trevor, that you don't know you've been... You don't know. You breathe it in. And there's a long latency period. It gets trapped in your lungs, and it could be 30, 40 years before you wake up one morning and you might have a sore rib or a bit of a pain, and you go to the doctor, and there you have it. There'll be a tumour. Mm. And that tumour will be mesothelioma. There's no cure for mesothelioma. In fact, a terrible statistic is that from the date of diagnosis to your death is about, on average, 11 months. So it can be quite aggressive. Of course, there's statistics on people live longer, but it's only 11 months. So it's a reasonably aggressive tumour, and there is no cure.
Okay, so what is government doing regarding, like, builders today who are going to renovate a house and what have you? Are we talking protection, and have we got good protection out there in regarding doing the job and prevent from us picking up asbestos?
Yes, look, there are laws in place. Obviously, if you're working with asbestos, that you need to utilise the right protective equipment. But importantly, if you do come across asbestos in your home, you should get a licensed asbestos a removalist or renovator to undertake that work. You know, once you get exposed, you can't take it back.
Sure.
Not like putting, you know, getting a paper cut and putting a Band-Aid on it and say that will heal. You don't know you've been exposed most of the time, and you can't take it back. So what we're about is ensuring that people understand the dangers and the risks of working with asbestos, particularly the homeowner and the renovators.
Yes.
For people out in the communities who might be thinking about doing something themselves, because it doesn't hurt when you're exposed. All you're doing is breathing in invisible fibres to the eye.
Yes. Now, you're saying houses that were built before 1990, is that right?
Yeah, if it's got what we, you know, the common term, if it's got some fibro in it, and that would be maybe in, you know, perhaps the eaves, could be in some walls, could be part of your bathroom, your kitchen, particularly where there are wet areas, because it was waterproof, water resistant.
Okay.
You need to be very careful. But, you know, the rule of thumb there, Trevor, would be if it's a fibro-type material, you should be treating it as asbestos.
Sure.
And, of course, it was in lots of materials, you know, even in the glue in tiles. When you were gluing laminate tiles to the floor, it was in the glue because it was so resilient.
So before and doing renovation on your own house or what have you, do due diligence. Well, if your house that you built, you know what material you use. But if it's a house that you bought and you've taken over and then you want to renovate it down the track, do your homework.
Well, do your homework, that's for sure. Get someone in to have a look at it. It's easy to get it tested. It's reasonably, it's not particularly dear. And there's a quick turnaround. My daughter just bought a house recently in an older area of Brisbane.
Mm.
And it was built in 1979. And we had it tested, the eaves, and it contained fibro material. And, of course, it's not dangerous unless it becomes friable by cutting it or by crumbling it. The material, if it's in good nick, painted.
Yes.
There's no problem. It's only
so people who are living in a house that's got asbestos, they're safe, not unless they start cutting into and start damaging or breaking into renovate, is when the asbestos comes to life, so to speak.
Well, that's right, Trevor. I mean, there's lots of asbestos. There's lots of homes with asbestos in Queensland and indeed Australia.
Yeah.
So you pointed out, it's only when it becomes disturbed it becomes a problem. So when you think about drilling a hole into a fibro wall because you're doing some sort of maintenance, that's when the fibres become released.
And when they release, does it float in the air? Does it? I mean, I'm just trying to picture it, how it all works.
Well, you won't see it.
Yeah, gotcha, exactly. Yeah, fine as. But it's in the air. Well, it becomes airborne.
It becomes airborne. It's easily inhaled into the lungs.
Mm.
And because of the nature of the fibres, think of them as sharp, very sharp.
Yeah.
They penetrate into the lungs, and the lungs, which are a very efficient organ in terms of expelling impurities, is not able to expel the fibres.
Mm.
Of course, what happens then is the fibres become almost toxic to the lung. They scar it, and they can form an asbestos-related disease, and as I said, the worst one being the incurable mesothelioma.
Well, the picture you painted is very scary, but look, it's a conversation that needs to be had as the topic of our conversation. Asbestos disease still impacts the community. So to all our mob out there, be careful, work safely, but also do your homework in regard to renovating or doing anything with the house, but get professionals in there, and the money you pay for that is big investment, you could say.
It's life-saving, and I would say don't be alarmed, but certainly be aware.
Lovely. Look, a beautiful conversation. Thank you very much for sharing, Trevor. All the best to you and your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, my friend.
And same to you, Trevor. Thanks very much for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A deadly yarn there. Trevor Torrance, his name, is the General Manager of Asbestos Disease Support Society. Now, asbestos disease still impacts the community, so it's still out there. So mainly houses who were built before 1990. We've got dates here, 1945 to the late 1980s. So just check it out, all the houses built back then. Do your homework, do your research in regards to renovating, or if you're looking at cracking down a wall or what have you, and get some professionals in there and wear equipment, protective equipment to protect yourself. As he said, it's fatal, and once diagnosed with it, you probably won't diagnose them for like 3, 4, 5 months down the track, and then you're about 11 months where it could be fatal. So do what you need to do to protect yourself, protect your family. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, you mob. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with the Baldy and Trevor, Tim Trinity, Trevor Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, which is National Talk Black. Love to hear what you've got to say here. How's the First Nation radio station in Cairns? BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM, across the nation. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give me a call. Let's have a yarn, you mob. Too deadly.
We believe porridge, I'm going insane. We believe porridge gonna wreck my brain. Stir in treacle, make them taste sweet. Put them along the stove and turn them up heat. milk from powder tin, milk from goat. We will eat porridge, pour them down throat. Mmm, mission food, sent from heaven, must be good. Mmm, mission food, sent from heaven, must be good. Never mind the weevils, never mind the taste. Missionary sheepmen say, don't you waste. We will eat porridge, make them pretty strong. Put them along a damn fire, you can't go wrong. Mission food, sent from heaven, must be good. Mission food, sent from heaven, must be good. Bless him, little weevil, and bless him, little me. We've been long a trick him, just you see. Catch him, little weevil, put him in the tea. Only father drink him up, missionary. Mission food, sent from heaven, must be good. Mission food, sent from heaven, must be good. Protector, he been come and give us daily ration. Cook and plenty food for him, them weevils we been mashing. Weevils in the sago, weevils in the rice. Protector, he been lung a saying, tastes nice.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Na na na. Na, 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 na.
Yeah, na, 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 Mary G. Fruit song. Before I jump into that song, let's catch up with Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Trev.
How are you, bro?
I'm nursing what I hope is just a hernia. I mean, you never know. It's,
yes.
You know, you sort of say, that's all we really have is our health, eh?
Exactly.
So this show is designed for me. I think it was all about smoking this morning, as I said there with a cigarette. And I used to work with asbestos, so I can tell you a little bit before I move on to what I really want to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You wanted to know how it worked. I used to work at James Hardney in Sydney. James Hardney, the asbestos company.
Mm.
And we used to do shutdown, mechanical breakdown work, contracting, and we had to get into the big slurry tanks where they mixed up this powder stuff and grind it and do everything, and we wasn't told anything about it. Overlooking Rose Hill Racecourse.
Mm.
And I was there contracting and doing the shutdown maintenance work. When they shut the factory down for 3 months, for 3 weeks at Christmas, you go in and you renew all the machinery so the factory keeps going for a year. And how asbestos works, it's a very fine, light feather. It's like a silicon fibre.
Mm.
And so when it goes into you, it spears in.
Is that right? And they're in boats as well, aren't they?
Sorry?
Are they in boats as well, asbestos?
Well, I don't really know now, but I'm just saying I'm a survivor, you know.
Sure.
And I was welding for 20 years.
Yeah.
And stopped welding because I had a shadow.
Well, you're one of the lucky ones, aren't you, bro?
Something looks after me, brother.
Yeah.
I'm still here and there's no... I don't know if you saw 60 Minutes on Sunday night.
No, I didn't. No, no. Go ahead.
There was Liz Hayes on and...
Oh, yeah. I saw the ads for it about one of her loved ones passed.
Yeah, her father, and she was covering the story for another one. And one of the... I used to see the liaison officer and I couldn't find actually an Aboriginal one there.
Yep.
And it disturbed me because even the liaison officers, they work for the hospital, and so the hospital wants to know what your complaint is so they can deal with it internally.
Mm.
So I don't think that's right because it's like the hospital shouldn't investigate itself and the police shouldn't investigate themselves because you'll get cover-ups.
Yeah.
That's the systemic way that their system works on us. It's them and us. And, you know, we're just ordinary. And they've got a job. So then I rang Mullawa Law, mate, after listening to Sharon there, and they were real good. I talked to them, and they said there's a real difficulty in getting, I said, pro bono, and I thought, it's not about the money. Well, if it's not pro bono, There's no money involved. It's about the principle.
Sure.
There's no money in it for the lawyer. You understand that?
Yes. So what are you saying that? And because there's no money in it, they won't act professionally. What are you saying? Sorry.
It's just too difficult. It's just too difficult. Them. It's a specialist field.
Okay. Yeah, I hear. Yep.
I'm not
probably talking minor legality.
Yeah, it's just a minefield of things at a difficult time with Corona too, and so that's impossible. So my concern is, I've had the fear of the hospital put in. Danger to patients and. What Liz Hayes and all them people said, they weren't hard enough on questioning the staff. And so on, after things went wrong, they were left angry, which is how I am. And I've gone sidetracked on other things. The story she can... Nightmare, you know. But I'm trying to find out who cares, you know. If anybody out there in this country really cares.
Have you written a letter to the.
Hospital. And I'm talking about systemic. I haven't even mentioned the racism yet. And it used to be, and they said, well, you know, if we give it to you, if you give it the information, then. Because I think the hospital knew he was friendly to me, and I was friendly to him because I already asked for him. And they still don't know what my complaints in writing are. I have withheld them.
So you did write a letter of complaint, did you, Tony?
Mate, you're there. The letter of complaint is in the medical records or hidden when, as a few clues, is that you get regular staff and then someone's missing and then and no, she said, no, she said to Donna. She says, oh, don't listen to him. Us girls got to stick together, right, with her arm wrapped around and bouncing. And I said, no, she just told me that she doesn't want them. They didn't want me in that ward as a witness. And I think this person is a hospital weapon that they sent in to get rid of me. And
so did they ask you to leave the bedside, did they?
Asked me to leave the bedside, or they were going to call security and do everything, and I had to shut up, you know. I had to be quiet, because then they win. Then I'm kicked out because I was a carer camping in the ward on chairs. I stayed with the run and off for 9 months there, going backward and forwards, 7, 6, 8 times, I can't remember it all. But we are not a big city. It's still a rural, backward place with hundreds of doctors coming and going, and there's no accountability. We need a big team.
Have you taken this conversation to one of the Member of Parliament? Cairns, for example? Mr. Michael Healy?
I can't see any of them because he's a troublemaker, he's a radical activist, he's this, or I'm character. Yeah, they don't want to see me, you know, I'm not a collar and ties sort of guy, and, you know, it's just how they treat you because it's all about cover up, putting up a wall. And something needs to be done. There needs to be an investigation into Cairns Base Hospital.
Well, you aired it here on National Talk Black, and look, that's a start, my brother. And look, thanks for sharing. I've got to go to the next caller, Tony. That's Tony Gibbs there, having his say and talking about situation at hospital and the service that he felt that he got or didn't receive. And not happy with it, and it falls on deaf ears, he says, and regarding writing a letter in. But you can have a say, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. And we've got someone online. Someone, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Brother David and Goliath Battle, and I like that, something we hear on the radio. If you think it's too small to be of any, to go in, they haven't been to bed with a mosquito. And the David and Goliath Battle, like they talk about White Lives Matter. Often I come in here, praise white fellows, and one of the white fellows I praise is Bernie Bacon, brother. Remember him, brother? Yeah, he won compensation for. He battled with white. Sorry, James Hardy. James Hardy, and he won that battle for. But Mr. Feely, I think it's called to win the victim of that illness from asbestos to get compensation. But two Aboriginal communities that had that with Mundine country, brother, whereby in the Pilbara region, and they never got any compensation. As a matter of fact, they had a full quarters program on by Yugal there, brother. But anyway, I did wait. I was scaffold up in the buildings when I was in Brisbane, and we carried the ceiling sheets upstairs. I'm okay, I reckon. But yeah, brother, it's David and Goliath Battle, and I always like to pray that Benny Banton, brother, and we used to go on TV at that bleeding thing on his face, brother. But yeah, big shout out to him, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
No, thank you very much, Selwyn. Regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. It's come to the time. You, Bob Murray, going to sign off here. I thank you very much for your company. The National Talk Black program is 1 hour program, 11 a.m. to 12 noon Queensland time. And it's come time we say our goodbyes. We've got the news coming here very soon with NIRS, and the National Talk Black program comes to you live from the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumber Brip Media 90.7 FM. We got Cross Nation thanks to NERS, National Justice Radio Service, a Voice Road People, a Yarning Circle, and one of our tools that we have across this beautiful black network of radio announcers. And we do our bit to tell our stories, tell our yarns, and hear all the juicy stuff in regard to our fight and our successes as First Nation people on their own lands. So look, have your say, 1-800-422-416, the number you need to call. Do that tomorrow. Otherwise, 24/7, text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. News coming up very soon. Your mob, look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in the pandemic, COVID-19. Abide by the rules and no vaccines. So need to do what we need to do, your mob. Too deadly.
Mother told me, now you take care of your brother, sister. Mother told me, stay in the boundary. Cause dark and cold and not an easy road home. Dangerous scrub when all the trees are overgrown.
Mamo
Nyamo told me, now you take care of your titta. Nyamo told me, stay in the boundary, cause dark and cold and not an easy road home. Dangerous scrub and all the trees are overgrown. Now rules are meant to be broken, isn't that what they say? Stepping out a little shouldn't hurt nobody. Bring your feet over the floor to test the water. Stepping out a little shouldn't hurt nobody. Bring your feet over the floor to test the water. Way home, way home. Firefly has got the light. Way home, way home. Firefly has the light to see. To begin, you'll be on out of sight. Clouds cover the night, and changes the stars.